This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We can talk football.
We can always talk football.
When it comes to the 2025 NFL Draft,
nobody's got you covered like us, even on a Saturday.
It's Saturday.
Now, tune in as we bring you the latest draft coverage with the game's day three coverage of the NFL Draft.
With John Fricke.
Brought to you by your local Honda dealers and by Window Nation. Buy four windows, get four free. The NFL Draft plays here because our Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Now, here's John Fricke.
92.9 The Game's live coverage of the NFL Draft continues on a Saturday morning. It is the 10 o'clock hour, a couple of hours away from the final four rounds. And right now as we sit, the Atlanta Falcons have two picks in the final four rounds. And we will have coverage beginning at noon. Bo and Mike will be here to take you through the final four rounds. So has anybody out there heard anything interesting about the draft of the Falcons yet? Anybody? I'm trying not to. It was so funny on my socials. I got a couple of guys saying to me, the posters, "You're always so negative." I'm like, what? And then I must be doing something right, because then I got other people, "You're such a big homer." Okay, I mean, they're all positive all day. Look, I'm thrilled. I'm excited. I think you ought to be excited. I want to hear from all of you. We have a couple of hours. We'll go through what the Falcons have done so far, some of the big stories of the draft. And I include all of you. I welcome all of you in. Like, for example, you know, the Swamper fans. Are you down for the struggle with Tyler Shuff? I mean, has that got you going? I mean, y'all excited about that? I'm just asking, because it's not the move I would have made. I think they actually made a couple of other pretty good moves. I think I would have just drafted Big Uglies if I was down there and called it good and lived with Spencer Rattler and hoped to go 3-14 and draft Arch Manning next year. But that's just me. I'm glad you guys didn't, because if Tyler Shuff is halfway decent and beats out Spencer Rattler and you guys win like 6 or 7 games, you ain't going to sniff Arch Manning. Good. Good. That's good for us. We don't want you to get him. So, I'm all doing it. So could Kirk Cousins be traded today? Where will Shedeur Sanders be drafted? Will Shedeur Sanders even be drafted? You would think, right? And what do you make of the Atlanta Falcons? I think this is an absolutely home run draft by Terry Fontenot. Home run. And they hit a home run, then they hit another home run, and then last night out of nowhere, they hit another home run. They've made 3 picks, 2 moves, 2 trades, 3 picks, and I think 3 starters. Jalen Walker is a starter. James Pierce Jr. is a starter. Their rotation on defense on the interior line suddenly looks really good. The linebackers and edges, I mean, they're deep and strong. I'm absolutely thrilled with what they've done. And then last night, late in the night, Joe Patrick and I do 6-10. Round 2 is dragging and dragging and dragging. And the Falcons don't pick to 101 last night. And it's dragging. And so we get off the air after 4 hours, no Falcons pick, and then Garrett Chapman takes over. And so I'm sitting there, and it takes another hour to even get remotely close. And suddenly, at number 95, the New England Patriots take Jared Wilson off the board. And I was like, darn, because I was kind of hoping he'd fall to the Falcons at 101 because with Newsville, I like Jared Wilson. They certainly have worked him out, the big center from Georgia. And I said, you know, they've got a couple of areas, Joe and I mentioned this before we went off the air yesterday, that they could still address in the draft. And that, by the way, they could still address in free agency too. Let's not forget about that. And could address today in a matter of ways. One of them was center, and the other was the defensive backfield. And then the center drops off to Brian McTartan. And lo and behold, right there, boom, very next pick, the Falcons move up. Trade with the Eagles. I'm like, okay, what are they going to do here? If they didn't trade up to get Jared Wilson, who are they trading up for? It turns out Xavier Watts. And I went, ooh, okay, I see what they're doing. Sometimes I have to see things to understand what they're doing. I went, oh, that sort of makes sense. I mean, Jordan Fuller is a good player, but I think Xavier Watts was drafted to start. And if he's not up to speed here, you got Jordan Fuller, you can kind of co-use those guys. I went, oh, I like this a lot. Because we talked about, you know, the possibility of adding to the defensive backfield. Now suddenly your safety room has a proven one of the best in the game still in Jesse Bates. You have a veteran in Jordan Fuller. By the way, this day, the Justin Simmons back to Atlanta. You've got Jesse Bates. You got Jordan Fuller. You have now Xavier Watts and DeMarco Helms. Let's not forget, DeMarco Helms, we liked a lot of what we saw, you know, before the season began last year from the young safety from Alabama. So now you're going, okay, safety room, checkbox. Edge room, checkbox. They've added three starters to this team. And they're not done yet. We have pick number 118. As if I have a mouse in my pocket. Pick number 118 today, and we'll go through that, what that might look like here in round number 4, and pick number 218 in the 7th round. Now, again, 7th rounders, unless you Brock Purdy falls into your lap, they usually don't amount to much of anything. But we'll, and that's no offense to players selected in the 7th round. Very few make it. And even fewer have a large impact on the game. So anyway, you got 4 through 7 today, and Bo and Mike will take you through that beginning at noon, and you and I can chat between now and then. I think this is a home run draft. There's a lot of mixed kind of thoughts about it, though. CBS Sports basically said it was a fail. ESPN Plus gave it an F. I'm like, oh, okay. And it leaves me doing what I'm doing right now, which is scratching my head, because am I seeing this wrong? And maybe, look, I've been wrong before. I'm married for the second time. Things happen. So, I mean, but am I looking at this the wrong way? Because I think this is a home run of home runs. And, of course, it's not – we all understand this, right? The draft is never about the pick. It's only about the production of the pick, okay? It's never about the potential of the pick, just the production of the pick. You know, you can pick Zach Wilson second overall or Mitchell Trubisky number 1 overall, Ryan Leaf number 2 overall. I mean, you could take Tom Brady in the 6th round. I mean, so it's never about the potential of the pick. It's only about the production of the pick. We all understand that. Otherwise, Brett Favre wouldn't have been a second rounder, or Drew Brees wouldn't have been a second rounder. Lamar Jackson wouldn't have been taken 32nd overall. This goes to the whole Shedeur Sanders thing. What if Shedeur Sanders comes into the league? He gets drafted somewhere today, and then comes to the league, and 2 or 3 years from now, he's out there doing Lamar Jackson-like things, and people are going, what? Well, I don't think there's any conspiracy surrounding Shedeur Sanders here, okay? Does some of it have to do with his dad? Yeah, a little bit. I mean, there is that kind of awkward thing which gives teams pause. Like, for example, the Falcons don't need him, right, because you got Michael Penix. Plus, his dad happens to be Falcons royalty, and you don't want to be in a position where, you know, suddenly, you know, the Falcons select Shedeur Sanders and Penix struggles at all, and then you got Dion, who's Falcons royalty, out there in front of cameras going, why isn't my team playing my son? And now we got people firestorming on radio and all over the place on blogs, and it's just like, okay, that's a distraction we do not need this year, okay? We just don't. It's not to say that Shedeur wouldn't be a good player, but it's just not nowhere we want to go. So there's some of that, some of the distraction factor. Because Shedeur is, as I said in my tweet earlier this morning, Shedeur is proof that it doesn't matter who your dad is when it comes to where you're drafted, unless, of course, you're a LeBron son, and then it does. But if you're not LeBron's son. Anyway, so the point of this is that you have a player out there who, depending on how you value him, is either going to be Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray or Trey Lance or Zach Wilson, right? He's either going to be great, mid, or he's going to suck. And I think most teams kind of value him as below mid. So the added thing about Deion, you could go ahead and say that, you know, we'll put up with the potential of having kind of, you know, the whole Deion thing and everybody saying, hey, should you, because remember, Deion's going to be in front of cameras for every game for Colorado. I mean, and so if the team that picks Shadur, this is not necessarily, by the way, this, let me stop for a second. This is not necessarily a Deion thing, okay, or a Shadur thing. I happen to personally be a gigantic, ginormous fan of Deion. I kind of like Shadur, even though he played at a school that I can't stand. I like the Colorado Golden Buffaloes, which, by the way, is their real name. We used to call them the Golden something else. To me, they're my college version of the Swampers, okay? And that they both happen to be black and gold is just a, yeah. I cannot stand the Colorado Golden Buffaloes. Hate them, okay? And if you're a Colorado fan, that's fine. We just have old rivalries. It's good. Don't worry. I'm not banging on you. I just wish it were different that Deion wasn't at that school, because that's my number one most hated team in America. Everybody's got one, right? You know? Yeah. So he's, it'd be like if you were a Georgia fan and he was a coach of Florida. So anyway, the point is that I don't know that it's a Deion thing or a Shadur thing. I think it's a media thing, because I'm not a big fan of my, I don't really consider myself to be in the media. I guess I am. I'm not a reporter anymore. I'm a talk show host, but I'm not a fan of the media. Having worked in it for 46 years and seen it from the inside, I know how full of crap this business is. Okay. When it comes to, and it doesn't matter if it's CNN or Fox or anything else. Okay. The whole business is infested with crap. I'm just telling you. Well, how do you know that? Well, guys, I spent 46 years in it. I know. So anyway, it's a media thing. Because the media, and I don't, again, I wouldn't blame them necessarily, but every time, once Shadur gets drafted, okay, and we get into training camp, every time Deion steps in front of a camera, somebody's going to ask him about Shadur. Hey, should Team X be playing your son? You know, and then you get into the preseason. Then you get into the regular season. Hey, should Team X be, why isn't Team X playing your son? Their quarterback isn't no good. Why isn't Shadur getting a shot? And it's just going to turn into that. And it's the media feeding it. You know, if nobody bothered to ask Deion about Shadur, I mean, Deion may once or twice offer it up. Hey, you know, Team X ought to be playing my son. But no, see, the media is going to just drive this and drive it and drive it, because that's what they do. The media beats dead horses into the ground for their own self-interest, all right? So they'll take a dead horse, they'll beat it to a pulp like it's, you know, the Last of Us, and somebody's out there, you know, blowing somebody's head off into nothing on the ground, you know? I mean, they just beat things into a pulp for their own self-serving interests. It's one of the things that I don't like about the media. So they're going to go after Deion. You can expect that whatever team takes Shadur, that the media is going to just be every week, you know, pregame, postgame, hey, what about Shadur? It's going to be nonstop. Okay, nonstop. So there is that angle of it, media-driven. So I want to take the two Sanders out of this, because I don't necessarily blame them. I blame the media. But I think it's more the fact that I think the NFL teams looked at Shadur Sanders and went, meh. There was a time in Mississippi Valley State, the Delta Devils in the 1980s, led the nation in scoring in HBCU, and they were running up 80 points a game, and they had a quarterback named Willie Totten. Willie the Satellite Totten. And we were doing, well, we went and did a story. We went to Mississippi and did a story on Mississippi Valley State and Willie Totten, and he was going to be the next great quarterback in the NFL. Willie Totten has thrown 8,000 million touchdowns and everything else. Willie Totten. Willie the Satellite Totten. You ever heard of him? No, but, you know, he had a wide receiver that was pretty good. His name was Jerry Rice. Do you see? Because that's what I think of Travis Hunter. If Shadur doesn't have Travis Hunter, are we looking at Shadur differently? Maybe. I think Shador is a project. I think he's an interesting player. Is he a starter in the NFL? No. Not right away. 2 or 3 years? Maybe. He's got a lot to learn. And I'm not saying I wouldn't take him, but I think at this point, the only team that can really take Shador is a team with an absolutely established quarterback. In other words, he needs to go to the Baltimore Ravens with Lamar, Cincinnati Bengals with Joe Burrow, Bills with Josh Allen, Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes. That way, whenever the media goes, hey, Deion, how come your kid isn't playing right now, huh? How come he's not? They're doing this to him. And Deion goes, hey, but he's with, he, because he's on the Chiefs. Yeah, so what? He's better than Patrick Mahomes. No. I think he's got to go to a place where there's not going to be any controversy or any question whatsoever that Shador is the absolute stone-cold backup. And that could include a team like, say, Jacksonville, where Travis Hunter is. Though that becomes a problem. Hey, you know, those two hooked up. But then Jacksonville just paid Trevor Lawrence a gazillion dollars. So I think it's going to be interesting. All right, so let's talk about this. 404-726-0929. We'll get into what the Falcons might be looking at today. Do you consider what the Falcons have done to be a home run draft? Or you're like, And by the way, there's no wrong answer because we don't know yet, right? We don't know. And, well, we can also get into Shador, and we can also get into a little bit, don't look now, but your Atlanta Braves? Your Atlanta Braves have won 6 of their last 7. Just saying. You know, hey, you know, they beat Arizona last night when you weren't looking. They won 8-2 to start that road trip, so let's see what they can do, too. 404-726-0929. Draft day number 3 live. Rounds 4 through 7 at the top of the noon hour with Bo and Mike right here on your home of the NFL Draft, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Who you picking?
Back to more of our coverage of the NFL Draft.
It's the NFL Draft Day, Saturday, Day 3 coverage with John Fricke.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Day 3 of the NFL Draft. 4 more rounds, rounds 4, 5, 6, and 7, and today the Falcons go into the final day of the draft with 2 more picks. A pick fairly early in round 4. It's pick number 118. And we'll look at in a moment at some of the players that might be available to the Falcons, presuming that they don't trade up. And a 7th round pick at 218. And at this point, everything's pretty much gravy. But I'm going to tell you, there's some guys at 118 that might be able to impact this team. So don't just dismiss it here. It's potentially, a very good pick at 118. There's some intriguing names and how they might be able to help this team. 404-726-0929 is the number. Joe Patrick, who was with me last night, was tweeting out today. There's a group of fans that Joe and I are now referring to as the Too Much Crew, okay? And the Too Much Crew, if you're in the Too Much Crew, that's fine. The Too Much Crew is, I can't believe how much the Falcons had to give up to get James Spears Jr. Oh, they overpaid for James Spears Jr. And Joe and I are kind of looking at each other going, they did? Because I need you to walk me through how they overpaid. Because I don't see that they... Now, again, it's not the potential of the pick, it's the production of the pick. So, I mean, they overpaid. They only overpaid, to whatever degree, that if James Spears Jr. sucks. Okay? Because at the moment, what they've done is they managed to maneuver their way through this draft through a couple of trades to get James Spears Jr. and Xavier Watts. And what did they give up? They gave up a number one pick next year, right? It was a swap of number one picks. Next year's number one for a number one this year. And somebody wrote to me and said, well, yeah, the number one next year, though, they got a 26 pick in this draft, and the number one next year is going to be 15. I'm like, what are you talking about? It's going to be 15. Hell, if it's 15, we got a new general manager and we got a new head coach. It damn well better be 26. Heck, it should be later. This team should be good, like really good. And if they're not and they don't have a late pick, then yes, everybody should be fired, okay? So anyway, it was a swap of number one picks. So then we get down to the rest of it. Again, the Falcons have James Spears Jr. and Xavier Watts. For that, they've given up a number one pick next year and a tight end named Terrence Ferguson, who went to the Rams. That was the Rams pick of the Falcons' second rounder. A fifth rounder next year and a seventh round pick from this year. So they gave up a fifth and a seventh and a tight end named Terrence Ferguson, who could be pretty good, by the way, and a number one pick next year to get James Pearson, Xavier Watts. Now, in my book, that's not too much. You have to win right now. And I also love to be, well, Terry's just trying to win right now to save his job. Yes, that's absolutely correct. He wants to win right now to save his job. He wants to win right. He wants to win right. I want to win right now. I want Terry to save his job. I don't want Terry to save his job. The hell are you talking about? If you're rooting for Terry Fontenot to lose his job, you're rooting for the Falcons to lose. You do realize that, right? You do understand that. I am not rooting for the Falcons to lose. I want to see this team win and win a lot. But that's just me. I guess other people are like, hey, I want this guy fired so bad. I don't care if we win six games this year. Yay, we got him fired. And not having any idea what the next group is going to be like. You know, if your goal is to have Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris fired, all right, we have different goals. My goal this year is to win the South, to get a home game, to advance to the playoffs, and take my chances. Okay, that's my goal. I want to see a bunch of wins, and I want to be cheering and be excited. But, you know, you do you. 404-726-0929, we begin with Mo. Mo, good morning to you. Hey, Mo.
Hey, good morning to you. I just wanted to comment on the situation with Shedeur Sanders. I know that before the break, you had mentioned some teams that would be a good fit for Shedeur. And when I think about it, I believe the Dallas Cowboys would be a good place for him to be behind Dak Prescott. And I feel like Jerry Jones would be interested in him because of the relationship with Deion. And I just wanted to make that comment.
No, I think you're not wrong. I think that Jerry Jones and his relationship with Deion, and the fact that Deion was a Cowboy at one point, and it would kind of like make some sense. I just want, look, have you ever been, Mo, to Dallas?
Yes.
Okay, then you would understand that I've been to Dallas a ton, okay? I probably spent the equivalent of a full year of my life in Dallas. My mom has lived there for 43 years. My wife and I got married there. I am extremely familiar with the Dallas area, even though I've never lived directly in Dallas. I've spent so much time in the Metroplex. I know it like the back of my hand. I also have listened to The Ticket and watched WFAA and read the Dallas Morning News. I'm really intimately understand Dallas, okay? They, those people there, and talking about, again, this is media-driven. They just paid Dak Prescott a hell of a lot of money. But the media in that town, there's a love-hate with Dak. And the moment that Dak goes, which he will, right, the media is going to start banging that drum for sure. I just want, you know, Jerry Jones runs a circus anyway, but just understand that that will turn into a circus. I mean, it doesn't bother me that it does, Mo, but it's going to turn into a circus.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And another comment that I want to make, I think the Falcons are doing really good with the draft. I'm excited to see what's going to happen. I know that they have a few more holes to plug, but I think they're headed in the right direction.
No, Mo, and Mo makes a great point. And by the way, Mo may be correct. Thank you, Mo. Mo may be 100% right that Jerry Jones takes Shedeur. I mean, letting him be under Dak, I'm just saying. All I'm saying to you is, to me, that's not as cut and dried as him being, Shedeur being the backup to Pat Mahomes or Joe Burrow or Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson or even Justin Herbert. When you've got certain quarterbacks, the coach, you know, Jim Harbaugh can say, Shedeur is the backup, don't ask me any more questions. You know, John Harbaugh can say, Shedeur is the backup, don't ask me any more questions. The Cowboys is a different story because Jerry's on the radio all the time. That's going to happen. I'm just telling you, they could do it. It's just going to be a bit more of a circus. That's all. Our old buddy Mel. Mel, hey, how you doing? Mel, has this been a home run draft so far in your opinion or no? Hey, Mel, what's up?
Falcons going to the Super Bowl. Falcons going to the Super Bowl.
No, yes, John. You know, I'm so happy now. I'm going to take me two or three drinks after I get through talking to you. But look here. I respect them for the fact of what they've done for the last in the draft. I respect you that. I'm not surprised at it, John. That's why I'm happy. And that person I know exactly what you were talking about when you were talking about Tampa and so forth going to get fired. You know, I know exactly because he called in and complained about the Packer general manager, the Packer coaching. You know what I mean? It's not going to happen. He might as well move from Georgia now because it's going to be a great football team now, man. You know,
no, certainly looks like it. I got a lot of high hopes.
Come on, a lot of high hopes. Joe, don't you know how much?
Say that again, Mel. You broke up.
Well, I'm seeing you, but anyhow, I'm proud of what they've done, man.
Me too.
Yeah, I'm proud of it. Look here.
I think Mel's breaking up here. All right. I appreciate it, Mel. I think your phone's dropping out on me because I'm kind of losing you here. But, no, I think the Falcons, I love the Xavier Watts pick. And, you know, you play some, because, again, you start looking at breaking the team down into subgroups here. If you start looking at the safety room, now you have Jesse Bates. You have Jordan Fuller, veteran right, who obviously knows his way around Raheem because he was with the Rams. You have Xavier Watts. You have DeMarco Helms. Okay, checkbox. Now you move to the outside linebackers, edge guys. You have Jalen Walker, James Pierce Jr., Arnold Ebukadi, Leonard Floyd, Braylon Trice. Checkbox. Okay, let's move to the inside linebackers. Troy Anderson, he went out and got Divine Diablo, who, for those of you who don't know, he got rid of Nate Landman, who was pretty good against stuff in the run, but Nate Landman couldn't cover you or me, okay? He ran like an 8-second 40-yard dash. Diablo is a Ulbrich's new version of Deion. Because when Ulbrich was the linebacker coach back in 2016, he had Deion Jones. Divine Diablo is that kind of player. He's a big box safety as a linebacker who can fly. And he can cover people out of the backfield. You have Caden Ellis. You had JT Bertrand, who did a pretty good job, I thought, last year. That's the dude with the, you know, he's the guy with the guardian cap. And so at inside linebacker, I'm okay. Now at cornerback, you have those three spots, left, right, nickel. You have A.J. Terrell. You paid Mike Hughes to be a starter. That's fine. I have no problem with that. Then you have D. Alford at nickel. That's an area where I think that they could go into. And Joe talked about this, and I'm not saying no here. Jalen Ramsey, it's possible he's out there, you know? And so we'll see. Now they're going to have to move Kirk Cousins. Well, of course, they haven't done that yet. They don't have the money to make a move for Ramsey like that yet. But that could be something that could happen. And we'll see how that kind of all plays out. You know, Les Snead and Raheem and, you know, obviously know each other. You know, so, and now Terry Fontenot's already made a deal with the Rams. So let's see what they can't possibly do. And don't worry. Again, don't worry about future assets, okay? People keep worrying about future assets. It's one of the things that, all right, let me stop for a second and walk you through this. Where did Terry Fontenot come from? He came from the Swamp, right? And down in the Swamp, what did they do? They used future assets against current, okay? And that included the cap. So they kept pushing everything down the road. People say, well, they're pushing things down the road, and they're pushing things down the road, and eventually it's going to catch up to them. The answer is that, yes. Has it caught up to them? Yes. So they need to kind of, that's why I was surprised they took a quarterback yesterday. So it's finally kind of caught up to them down there, all right? And so it's going to be, in theory, a few lean years down in the Swamp, okay? All right, but in the interim, they had a hell of success, right? And so that's what Terry Fontenot's doing now. He's starting to push things down the road, and that includes the draft because, well, we lost our number one. Well, who says we can't get it back in some kind of a deal? Maybe we can get a number two and have two number twos and trade back up into the first round next year. Oh, okay, we're back. You know, so again, don't worry about next year, okay? Only worry about now because you got to win now. All right, quick break, and then more of your calls, your reaction here. We'll also go down the list of if the Falcons don't move from 118, I don't expect they will, but unless they just love somebody on the board. They did move up from 101 to 96. traded a fifth rounder next year to move up five spots to take Xavier Watts because they really liked him. So they could move up from 118. And we'll talk about some of the players available to start this final day of the draft. Live coverage at noon today with Squid Billy and Mike Johnson. Rounds 4 through 7 right here live on your home of the NFL Draft, Sports Radio 92 on the Game.
Who you picking?
Back to more of our coverage of the NFL Draft.
It's the NFL Draft Day, Saturday, Day 3 coverage with John Fricke.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Final day of the NFL Draft begins at noon our time, taking you to noon. Next hour in 20 minutes, and then Squid Billy and Mike Johnson with coverage of rounds 4 through 7. The Atlanta Falcons have pick number 118 in the fourth round, about 17 picks in, and then we'll have pick number 218 in the seventh round, provided there's another trade. And, of course, a lot of trades happen at this point in the draft, and we'll see what they're going to do here. Go over some of the players that might be available. Understanding that going into today, I think if you start to identify the areas where the Falcons could use, a little bit of help, I think if you stack them, to me, you start looking at cornerback, nickelback, you look at center, and you look at interior defensive line as the three biggest areas that they could possibly, though that doesn't preclude them getting another tight end or even another running back. You're like, why would they get a running back? Well, Tyler Algier's not going to be here next year, likely. And so if there's somebody that can impact you on special teams and be a third running back, not that Jason McClellan isn't, capable, but if you can upgrade that spot, no offense, Jason, not trying to, But if Cam Scadaboo's available from Arizona State, that too can play, why are we drafting a running back? Well, because of special teams and because eventually, as of next year, he's going to be the heir apparent to being the backup to the relief guy for Bijan. So we'll see. 404-726-0929. Let's go to Allie on Sports Radio 92 on the Game. Hey, Allie, welcome to the show.
Hey, John, thanks. Hey, John, do not fall into the Fontenot math, okay? We went in with five picks. We're going to come out with five players, and we're going to be down a first-round pick and a fifth-round pick, okay? So the switch is, do you like Pierce better than Mike Green, who was right there where our second-round pick was, and it's going to cost us a first-round pick next year? And then the two teams they traded with, the Eagles and the Rams, are probably maybe the top two or three GM/scouting combos in the NFL. I think those guys see Fontenot as the sucker at the poker table. It's like, okay, let's take it. So if we got 85 cents on the dollar, that's probably the best we can hope for. I think we got less. I don't disagree with you that, hey, look, they double down. What I don't love about it is if these guys get all fired like they might after this year, then, the new GM, the new head coach, they're down a first-round pick and a fifth-round pick going into next year.
Well, all right, let's take the other side of this too, Ollie. Jalen Walker fell to them. He had a top 10 grade on him. So they got a little bit lucky, and sometimes in the draft you got to get a little bit lucky. James Pierce Jr. was... you're not going to let me talk. You're just going to talk over me, Ollie. Oh, is that how it's going to work here?
Okay. Go ahead.
Thanks. James Pierce Jr. was the, highest-rated edge rusher in terms of production at college. Had better numbers than Mike Green. Showed out at the combine. So they obviously like his production. They liked him far more than they liked Mike Green. That's why they traded up to get him. Now, are they right or are they wrong? Okay, I don't know. The proof isn't in the potential of the pick. The proof is in the production of the pick. We won't know that for a little while. I'm going to trust that they're right. Because you're right, they could have just sat there, but you wouldn't have known, by the way, and you couldn't have known, that Mike Green would be there when they were at 46, even considering, Ali, your guess, and that's all it is, that they value Mike Green alongside James Pierce. Obviously, they did not. So you're making an assumption here that I think you have to be careful about. We won't know until we see the production of this, right? And now, the fact that Mike Green went to Baltimore, where historically got a great defense. Look, I wish Mike Green the best, except if he ever plays against us. I'm going to trust that they know what they're doing. I think their track record here at the top of the draft in the first round is brilliant. I mean, Terry Fontenot in the first round, you would agree, Ali, has been masterful, correct?
Pitts?
Pro Bowler. You mean the Pro Bowler who was second all time?
Oh, my God.
Wait a second. Okay. Yes or no, did he make the Pro Bowl?
he made the Pro Bowl.
Okay, so there's that. Then he's played now. Then he's playing now with his seventh starting quarterback in 4 years. His seventh. So now, did he make the catch of the year at the end of last year? Oh, that's right, he did. Did he almost win you and get you into the playoffs despite everything? Yes, that's right. And by the way, the new quarterback, Michael Penix, really come to bat for him, say, I can't wait to unlock this guy, because you know that if he leaves, he's going to get unlocked. You can't deny the fact that he's got raw talent here. They just haven't been able to unlock it. Maybe they do this year. I don't know. All right, so
I hope so. Yep.
Okay. So, at Drake London, Pro Bowler, Bijan Robinson, Pro Bowler, Michael Penix, potential franchise quarterback. Now we got, everybody just poo-poos everything. And again, I don't understand why everybody's so negative here. I see a team that on paper ought to win. They should have last year. They were 6-3 and three games up until the broke down liar screwed them over. And this team is better than that team. They've upgraded the defense, not only from a coaching standpoint by quite a bit, I think, from Jeff Ulbrich over Jimmy Lake, that's my guess, but also from a talent standpoint, and they're not done yet. You know, they could get a Jalen Ramsey on this team. They can get rid of the broke down liar and end up with another. This team ought to be, quite frankly, close to a runaway winner in the NFC South. And if they're not, then everybody gets fired and you and I can have that conversation and say, okay, they blew it. But I'm gonna err, Ali, on the side of optimism. That's all.
No, I'm hopeful that I'm wrong, right? But when the track record is Brandon Dorius and Trice and Orokro and just in this last draft, and then you have to overdraft at the edge in the front seven again, and you already called out the corner stuff. So look, they've hit on first-round picks, and a lot of teams don't. So, yes, I would caution, though, that, hey, Drake London isn't Ja'Marr Chase, right? He's the eighth pick in the draft. Nobody fears him like a Malik Nabers or Ja'Marr Chase. Bijan Robinson, as good as he is, he still hasn't taken anything to the house 75 yards like Saquon Barkley does. You're talking about a running back as the eighth pick, right? Look, the Penix thing might be the biggest blessing this my franchise has, so I'll give you that, despite the total cluster of how we got there. But we'll see. You know, I'm hopeful. I'm just saying it's a lot of price to pay for a combo that may get blown out, because you're right. The South is super there for the taking, and I think
I appreciate that, Ali. I mean, I appreciate your take there, and thanks very much. I mean, Ali wants to see the team that broke down liar was playing against in those horrid games against teams like, you know, Denver, you know, for example, and not that Denver's not a good team, but that was just, or certainly the Swamper game, and some of those second half performances that were just not, it was just horrifically bad. And I see the team that 6-3 and three games up after nine games going into the bye. So I think it's a better team. If he wants to view it negatively, that's fine, but the Too Much crew is trying to tell you that, oh, they overpaid for James Pierce. I don't think they necessarily did. I consider it a first-round swap. And everybody's like, oh, you could have gotten Mike Green, as if Mike Green is exactly James Pierce Jr. You're making an assumption that they're the same player. If Mike Green was that guy, would Mike Green have not gone much, much higher than he did? He didn't go to the third round. So, what are you talking to me about here, you know? I mean, help me out. Was Mike Green did I miss that Mike Green was taken in the top 20 picks? Was he taken in the top 30? So, again, we can't know. It's the draft is a crapshoot. We all understand that. And the hatred for Kyle Pitts, I don't quite understand. He has worked with multiple offensive coordinators, multiple quarterbacks, and among those multiple quarterbacks are the noodle arm quitter, DoorDash Dez, Taylor Heineke, love you, Taylor, but you are who you are, and the broke down liar for half a season, and then a rookie who he had, and the 1 year at the end of Matt Ryan's career, he's not exactly had a Joe Burrow out there throwing balls to him, and all y'all just want to smack him down, and I don't understand it. He's probably only got 1 year left here. Okay, this will be his final year, and it's going to be his final year one way or the other. It's his final year because he's either going to fail so bad and all y'all are going to call me up and say, this guy sucks. You know, he doesn't actually suck, but okay. You know, he's got to go. All right, fine. You know, you're all going to hate on him. That's fine. That's good. Okay. Or he's going to break out And you're going to go, oh, my God, where's this guy been? I'm going to go, yeah, I tried to tell you. He hadn't had a chance, actually, in an offense to actually have a quarterback worth a damn, except for Matt Ryan at the end of his career, who could get him the football, for crying out loud. And when he did, all he did was make the catch of the year at the end of last year. Did you forget that before the broke down liar broke down, he was running down the field. You dropped a ball at the goal line. Running down the field. He's an impossible matchup. He's a matchup nightmare. And all you all hate on him. So he's either going to look, this is, could he break out and have a dozen touchdowns at 1,500 yards and turn into a, you know, a weapon for them, like a met? And then you're going, oh my God, we got to keep him. Yeah. And then you can't afford him, right? I don't know. I'm stopping. Stop. This isn't about him. Pick number 118. Let's talk a little bit about who might be available at 118. There's some interesting names that are out there at 118. In that area, I think you're looking at, there's a defensive back who's a corner from Texas San Antonio. He's a Cedar Town guy. His name is Za Frazier. 6'3", runs like the wind, blew it up at the combine. I'm surprised he's still on the board, to be honest with you. I'm really surprised that he's on the board into Saturday, because there are a lot of people thinking Za Frazier has a chance to be an instant starter in the NFL, and he's still on the board. 6'3", can run like the wind against Cedar Town guy. He's an interesting guy to me. I think Camp Scatabo is an interesting guy. I know that fourth round for a running back on this team is an overdraft. I get what you're saying about that. Doesn't mean I don't think he's not going to be a football player. I do. There's a defensive back tackle from my school who I really liked, and I'm telling you, if you search him, you'll understand why. Because he's big, strong, runs like the wind. His name is Ty Robinson, and he can play. Okay? Jack Sawyer. Jack Sawyer may not be the fastest. All Jack Sawyer did at Ohio State was make play after play after play after play. Now, I happen to be in love less with technicals and more with football players. It was the reason I got into this big argument years and years and years and years ago about Terrell Suggs. Because Terrell Suggs was at Arizona State, had a terrible combine, comes back, has a terrible pro day where he's running like 4.7 or something, and people are like, I'm out on Suggs. I'm like, all I saw him do at Arizona State as an All-American was make play after play after play after play after play. And he went to Baltimore, and all he did as a pro was make play after play after play after play after play. Can you play football? This isn't a track meet, okay? And pad speed is different than underwear speed. And eyes and anticipation count for something. Speed matters, obviously, but sometimes speed only matters because you're having to make up for the fact that you didn't read it correctly to begin with, and now you got to play catch-up. All right? Do we all understand that when it comes to defense? Now we're talking about catch-up speed, not actually football speed. So if you can read it and make your first step, the speed's about the same. Oh, he's a lot faster than this guy. Yeah, but I don't have to catch up because I'm ahead of the whole concept. All right. Anyway, let's squeeze David in here before the top of the hour. A little over an hour away from round number four. Hey, David, welcome to the show. Yo, David.
Here I am. The only thing I'm worried about, the second first-round pick, is I'm hearing little echoes of Nathan Davis, a longtime Falcon fans know that name, the second-round pick who basically had a head full of concrete. And I think the projection was he'd either make or break the Falcons draft that year, and he broke it because he was out of football in 2 years. And that's why I'm concerned about the Pierce guy, because he just seems to be marching to a different drummer. And that seems to be a concern about such matters. What do you think on that?
I guess, yes, there were some issues. I mean, Mike Green obviously came with character issues and, you know, questions about him. You know, I mean, you could go back and forth on that. You know, there was a reason, you know, Randy Gregory dropped in the draft was because of character issue questions, and Warren Sapp dropped in the draft because of character, you know, some guys dropped because of character issues, you know, and this is why you have to do, David, you have to do your due diligence, okay? And it's up to you to make the right call here. And if you're going to do what they did to draft James Pierce Jr., they had better have done their homework, because not only is the future of the team this year impacted, but their future, not only with this franchise, but in the NFL itself. Their career, it's not that their job with the Falcons is on the line. Their careers are on the line. Because if Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris fail this year and get fired, David, Terry Fontenot's probably never going to become a general manager again. He'll probably have to become a scout. And Raheem Morris is never going to be a head coach again.
True on both counts there, although I'm crossing my fingers and toes because I've been at the games when the two-minute warning comes along and our head coach seems to be a deer in the headlights.
Again, yeah, you know, this is the things that must be addressed, no question. I can't argue any of these points. So, again, the proof isn't in the, you know, potential of the pick. The proof is in the production of the pick. And other areas. Now we're just focusing on the draft. We can have a different discussion when it comes to game management, clock management, things of that nature. Yeah, sure. But that's not for this. That's a different discussion.
Okie doke.
Thanks, David. I do appreciate. No, look, again, there's no right or wrong answer here. And David may be right that he's got. He may be absolutely. Ali may be right. You know, they just like the automatic default of a lot of fans is. Look, they haven't made the playoffs in 8 years, therefore I think they suck. You know? Okay, I get it. And you have to be proven different. I understand that. I do. I get it. And so I can't argue with it because they may be right. I sure as hell hope they aren't. Because the way I view it, I really like the makeup of this team now. I think this has been a home run draft. But again, that's just me. I could be wrong. 404-726-0929. Let's talk about it. This is why, you know, I can't really argue with it. I defend my position, but I can't argue against it. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.